30, 45 minute sermon. I'm going to talk fast. Yeah. The youth are upstairs having pizza. That's messed up. That is messed up. All right, yeah. Yeah, Gene's got to go count money upstairs. Right. Sure you do, pal. We've been talking about the body of Christ, the church being the body, the physical body. This building is not the church. You as individuals make up the church. You as individuals make up, in effect, different parts of the body. Some of you are eyes, some of you are ears, some of you are feet. Wash them. It was important in biblical times, amen? All members in a church body are not the same according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, and also verse 17. We are not one, but we are many. We're not one, but we are many. Verse 14 says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And then verse 17 says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?" So we're all different parts of the body. And so here, did everybody get a handout tonight? Everybody? Okay, good. Good. Here's your first fill in the blank. Having established that the church... The church is the worldwide community of believers, is indeed one body. Bless your heart. Oh, thank you. Do you need a pen too, Miss Deborah? Come on, man. Come on, get on board here. This is a classroom, young lady. Good Lord. Look at everybody over here digging stuff out. Oh, Lord, geez, he's going to... All right. Iris is frantically typing stuff in her phone. The first one is church. The second one is one body. And the third one, the body of Christ. Having established that the church, the worldwide community of believers, is indeed one body, the body of Christ, Paul goes on to show the necessity or the necessary diversity in the body. The body is diverse. Your foot, whether you know this or not, your foot does different functions than your ear. And your eyes are different than your nose. Because God made up our body diverse. And so we have to understand that the human body does not consist of one member, but of many. And for a body to really function, diversity is essential. The problem with diversity in the world is we've taken diversity 50 million different degrees further than it was ever intended to go, and so they want us to be all this stuff. Well, we need to keep diversity within the confines and the context of the Word of God. And so here's some more fill in the blanks here. Individual members cannot separate themselves without harming the body. Individual members cannot separate themselves without harming the body. We have to stay connected if we're going to stay the body. Just as the foot can't decide to leave the body because it's not a hand, as so a believer who does not have a particular gift cannot just decide randomly that he or she is not a part of the church. That's nonsense. God has ordained each and every one of us to be a part of the body and to fulfill a role or a task that He has already put in you to do. When He made you, He wired you a specific way. Some people are fantastic at standing out on a street corner and proclaiming the love of Jesus. I'm not that person. This is my forte. Right here. This is what God wired me to. I didn't believe He did. I fought against it. I lost. You're stuck with me. And we're happy. Thank you, Tim. Not having a particular gift would not make you or any other person any less part of the body. There are some parts of the body, let me just say this because you're thinking it, that are not as glorious as other parts of the body. But they're all valuable. There are lesser positions and there are greater positions. But that doesn't mean that the greater position is of less value than the lesser position. If you think that because I'm the preacher or the pastor, and so I've got the greatest position in the church, that's messed up thinking. Because the people that scrub the toilets, listen, we just let that go for a couple weeks. We're just going to not empty the trash for a couple weeks. We're just going to leave the toilets go. The toilet is? Oh, the trash. All right, well, let's be clear. If you're going to make those kind of statements, dear, you're going to have to be clear. Can I just tell you that it wouldn't take 2 weeks before somebody decided that that was pretty valuable. And so, you know, there are all these things. Some believers in the church in Corinth were discouraged that they didn't have particular gifting. Probably one of the more secure or spectacular gifts, like the gift of tongues. So they believed that they would not truly be a part of the body unless they experienced that particular gift. That's just not true. It's just not true. You're a part of the body. Here's some more fill-ins. Paul explained through this metaphor that all the different gifts given by the Spirit to believers must be utilized in order for the church to function well. Let me just put it to you this way. Every one of you in the sound of my voice tonight, in fact, every one of you tonight watching by way of the internet, God has given you a gift. God has placed a special thing inside of you, and the church tonight is suffering because you're not moving and working and living and functioning in the gift that God has put in you. And so the church doesn't function. I'm a tool guy. I got tools. I mean, I got tools. I got lots of tools. And having lots of tools, if I take one tool out and go to do a job, and that tool is no longer in my toolbox, I'm ineffective. Because I don't have that tool. And the body is the same way. If you're a thumb and we're out in the parking lot and we're picking up trash and you're a thumb. If the thumb doesn't show up, we have opposing thumbs for a reason. We can do things that cows can't. We can do things that horses can't or pigs can't because we have opposing thumbs. We can. Every one of us is valuable, is all I'm trying to say. Every gift that's been given by the Spirit of God to believers must be utilized in order for the church to function well. And likewise, all the gifts are interdependent. They are interdependent. And likewise, the body, they cannot function without each other. We've got to be together. Listen, a ratchet in a toolbox is no good if it doesn't have a socket. They go together. Replacing the national identity that had once set apart God's people, Paul gives a new picture of the identity of God's people. They are like a body. And each one of us has one body, but our bodies have many parts. There's eyes, ears, fingers, toes, blood vessels, muscles. You know, some of you have hair. But all members do not have the same function. Not every part of your body can see. Not every part of the body can hear. Instead, here's some more. Instead, each part has a specific function. That's a fill-in. Write that down. Specific function. People come to me all the time, Pastor, what does God want me to do? Couldn't tell you. That's for you to find out. That's for you to get on your face and seek the Lord and find that out. But I can promise you, you have a specific function, and we all must work together if the body's going to move and act correctly. So who gives us then our place in the body? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, verse 18 says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. In other words, God wired you. God has put you in the body for a specific, to fill a specific purpose in the body. Some of you are musicians. Some of you aren't moving in the giftings that God is giving. Some of you are sweepers. Some of you are whatever. You fill in the blanks. But if you're not doing what God's called you to do, the church is suffering. The church is suffering. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are teachers. God created human bodies to function with many parts that work together. So the body of Christ, and here it is, the church, needs all the various gifts working in harmony, working together, working in unity. So the picture of a body with only one part illustrates the absurdity of a church with everybody trying to have the same gift. It's ridiculous. It'd be like, it really wouldn't be a body at all, and it would be, in fact, unable to function. Here's some more. While there are many parts, there's only one body because God ordained it that way, and putting each part just where he wants it. Where he wants it. Here's some more. All believers. All believers. Those with the spectacular gifts and those with the quieter gifts are placed right where God wants them so that they might serve effectively together. The first one is all believers. The next one is God wants. The third one is serve. We could shorten that whole sentence up by saying all believers, God wants to serve. That's what he wants. We are to be one body with many parts because God, that's a fill-in, because God made it that way. God made it that way. So according then to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21 through 25, and 1 Peter 4:10, we are all necessary, which begs the question, why? And the answer is because God composed the body, and it's his body. It's his body. Listen, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much Rather, all those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And then 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each of one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. Every one of us has received one or more spiritual gifts. Every one of us have received one or more spiritual gifts from God. A spiritual gift, and here it is, fill in the blank. A spiritual gift is a talent or an ability empowered by the Holy Spirit and able to be used in the ministry of the church. You realize that you have a gift, but you don't know what to do with that gift. I tell you tonight, God will empower you to use that gift. God will equip you to use that gift. Ministry, yes, ministry of the church. Here's some more. Spiritual gifts help God's people to serve and to love one another and continue the work of spreading the gospel. That's our main role. That's our main job, is to spread the gospel. Paul wrote this in Romans 12. Just as each one of us has one body with many parts, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So when a believer recognizes their partnership in the body, their gifts can be used effectively, and it only then can they also participate, or rather appreciate one another's gifts. One of the things that we're trying to accomplish here in the church is really to bring unity to the church region-wide. To bring, you know, Baptist, Nazarene, we don't care who you are. We all make the body, and the body has to come together, or it's going to limp and be ineffective. So the body has to come together. And when we recognize our partnership in that body, and when this body begins to function healthy, each one doing their part,
good enough. All right. Am I on now? Sounds like I'm on. I'm going to spit all over your microphone, Bill, just so you know.
They wash.
They'll wash. Kim.
We just prayed for Kim. All right. He didn't like that comment, did he? So that's what I got to do to get a good mic. Just threaten to spit on it. Yeah, Kim. They thought, but apparently not, because she's right out there in the parking lot. But although she also had a heart attack, and the next day was in church, so there's that. So God's good. All the time. So, where am I at, Michelle? Yeah, to be faithful. To be faithful. I don't know where we're being faithful here, but okay. So when we recognize our partnership in the body, I talked about that, we can appreciate others' gifts. God gives people various spiritual gifts so they can build up His church. God gives us special gifts, spiritual gifts, to build up His church. The gifts were not meant for self-aggrandizement. Instead, every believer has received at least one gift in order to serve others. And so when believers use their gifts in humble service to others, they are actually faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. It's just, it's all part of His plan. The gifts that God gives us as believers are as varied and as many faceted as are the believers themselves. Wouldn't it be boring if everybody was like me? I mean, I know that sometimes I can seem like the life of the party, but wouldn't that wear you out after a while? Huh? Matt's like, no, you crazy rascal. The gifts that He gives us are varied, and God's grace itself varies in its dealings with people. He deals with each one of us differently. I don't know if you know that or not. I mean, the measure and the standard is the same, but He deals with us differently. And His grace, it varies in dealing with people. So the gifts of God are also varied in their administration of His grace as His body on earth. And so here's another one. To be faithful means not to hide the gift. Don't hide the gift. Use them as they were meant to be used, serving and building up the body of Christ. I have to talk about tools again, because tools have a specific purpose. And if you don't use the tool for the purpose in which it was designed and created, you're going to destroy the tool. To be faithful means not to hide the gifts, but use them as they were meant to be used, serving and building up the body of Christ. I'm about done. I'm 10 minutes over. I'm about done. I'm hurrying. Our abilities should be faithfully used in serving others. None are for our own exclusive personal enjoyment. The gifts are to be ministered to one another. Some people, well aware of their abilities, believe that they have the right to use those abilities as they please. That's contrary to Scripture. Others feel that they have no special talent at all. I'm probably looking at some that believe, I just don't have any special talent at all. Peter addresses both groups in these verses, and because every believer has been given a way to minister, that's a fill in the blank, minister, we should find our way to serve and do it. Listen, God has gifted every one of you. I've already made that very clear. Every one of us has a gift. And we've all been given a way to minister, and we need to find out what it is, what our way is to serve, and then do it. And most importantly, We talked about this in our staff meeting the other night, by the way. When we see a need in the church, if you see a need and it's within your ability to fulfill that need, just do it. Just meet the need. If the trash needs taken out, don't come to the pastor and say, "Hey, listen, you need to take the trash out, pal." Well, maybe you put some of it in there, so you take it out. Every Sunday, and I'm not tooting my horn or any of that, but I usually go in and check the bathrooms every, and it's amazing how much water and stuff just gets everywhere. I just wipe it up. It's not tough. It's pretty simple. If you use up all the paper towels, I'll buy some more. But no, we shouldn't be passing the buck. We shouldn't be passing the buck. If we see a need, we should meet the need. You don't got to go tell anybody about it. Just do the job. Just do it. Just meet the need. God will reward you openly when you serve Him secretly. Scripture. When you see a need in the church, you meet the need. It's the best way that we can. If it's possible to serve by way of our gift, great. But if there remains a need, even though it may not be perfectly matched to our gift, we can still help. Hello? Just because it doesn't fall within the... Another thing that we did in our staff meeting the other night was we passed out job descriptions to each person that needed one. That it defines the job description. This is what your job title looks like on paper. But you're not bound to just that. There can be a little splash over. And there's going to be. There should be. Sorry, I can't stack chairs. Well, then just shove them over to somebody that can. You can still be a part. I saw Liam tonight trying to use the chair cart, and Mr. Bill was trying to help him, and he is on that thing, and he's yanking it. He couldn't even make the thing wiggle, but he was trying. He wanted to help. Let me close with this. We should never withhold our ability to minister. You need to keep up, Pilgrim. See a need? We should meet. And then we should never withhold our ability to minister. No. We should meet. We should meet the need. We should meet it. Naturally. Any questions tonight? That was this morning. Yeah, that was this morning. You know, there are things that affect others differently than they affect others, because we're all different parts of the body. We've come through different avenues to get where we are, one person had to leave here tonight because of hearing about everybody struggling and hearing about the drugs and all those kinds of things. And he was just having a hard time. And that's okay. That's okay. But I want to pray tonight for different ones. Again, I want to pray for Alex, that God would touch him and that God would heal him, and for others that have symptoms, cough, headache, achy bodies. I'll pray for you too. These drugs that the enemy has unleashed, the hate that the enemy has unleashed in our nation for this candlelight vigil on Friday night. May we come together as his body, many different parts from many different places, but his body. It's not just about Charlie Kirk. It's about the world that we live in. We have got to do our part as parts of the body to bring the body back together. To love so strongly that it drives hate away. So tonight, Lord, I lift him up. And I ask you, Lord, to help him. To realize that these are all just tools that the enemy uses to divide and to kill and to rob and to steal and to destroy. And so, Lord, I just pray tonight. Really, Lord, I pray for Leon. I pray, God, that you would touch that young man. And he's been there and done that, and he knows full well what these people are going through. So, Lord, I pray that you would help him, that you would strengthen him. Lord, that you would encourage him tonight. Wrap him up in your arms and love on him tonight. Lord, I pray for Alex tonight, that you would wrap him in your arms and that you would love him and embrace him and release healing virtue over him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for Mavis's little grandbaby. God, that you would touch that little gripper. Heal him, Lord. God, I pray for Michelle. Pray for her arm, and I pray for her foot. I pray, God, that you would restore. God, we rebuke and we curse cancer in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever that ambulance represents out there right now, or fire truck, I pray, God, that you'd have your hand on that whole situation right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for Randy and I pray for Ron. Pray again for Kathy. Lord, I pray for Chuck Perkins tonight, going in for a very sensitive kind of a heart operation. His arteries in his heart have gone away, apparently, or whatever, and they've replaced as many of them as they can with blood vessels, but arteries are much bigger than blood vessels, and the blood vessels are having a hard time getting enough blood where it needs to go, and so they're going to go in, they're going to try and do this thing. And so, Lord, where fear wants to come in, God, I ask you to stop it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, in fact, I pray that you would heal his heart. God, I pray that you would replace those vessels with arteries. Lord, that you would bring healing, health, and wholeness to Chuck. Lord, I pray that any fear that he might be experiencing in anticipation of this operation, Lord, I pray that you would wipe it away. I pray that Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace that passes all understanding, would be right there with Chuck right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you tonight. We pray for Jan. I pray, God, that you'd give the staff wisdom. In fact, wisdom beyond themselves, Lord, in dealing with this situation. Lord, every bit of infection that might be in Randy's knee, I pray, God, that you'd take it out in Jesus' name. God, for whatever else we might be facing, body pain, different kinds of symptoms, Lord, whatever Mary's experiencing, I pray that you would touch her. I pray that you would heal her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm reminded tonight of Daryl's family as they prepare for Saturday to send him off, if you will, to celebrate his life. That, God, you'd be with that family and watch over them and help them to rejoice that he lived a full life. And he lived it well. He lived it well. So, Lord, I just, again, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for each one tonight watching by way of the internet. We're so grateful to have you with us. Help us, Lord, to be your body, to function, not with a limp, but effectively for your glory and for your honor, that your church would go forth, that your kingdom would be established in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for bearing with me tonight. I appreciate it. God bless you. Listen, Brother Thomas will be here Sunday morning. You won't want to miss that. Tell your neighbors. Amen. Good night.